Thank you for that. Those songs you picked out today, Frank, appreciated that. We have been looking the last few weeks at the idea of why we do the things that we do, to always be ready, as Peter commanded, to give a defense for the hope that is in us. A month or so ago, we had a lesson on giving, the importance of giving. I didn't want to repeat another one so soon, but a couple of weeks ago we had a lesson on the Lord's Supper. Why, you know, what is it that we're doing when we partake of the Lord's Supper every week? Excuse me. Last week we had a lesson on singing. Why do we sing? What is the purpose? Why do we sing the way we do? Etc. To where if people ask us, we can give an answer. Today, if I don't cough, we're going to look at the idea of preaching. Presenting God's word. Thank you. I'm always scared of taking a cough drop while I'm preaching, that I'll start coughing and suck it down, and then where would we be? I'd have Frank be giving me mouth to mouth, and I don't want that. Thank you, Don. I might be using that after the lesson. I'll be brave and go it alone. The scripture that Kent read today was taken from Romans, and this applies to people in my position, but not just to people in my position. It applies to us. Because we are preachers. I kind of want to define who preachers are first. We are preachers. Whether it be verbally, or as Sam addressed in the Lord's Supper, or as Tracy talked about in the class this morning, by our conduct, people may be won. That souls may be saved through our conduct, through our preaching. Now, this passage is talking about the spoken word, the sharing of the word. But we do that. We share the word with our children. We share the word when somebody asks us a question at work. Or with our neighbors. So the idea of preaching is not just the guy that stands up here. It's all of us. And Paul is addressing this to the Christians in Rome, and he says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. And one of the good things about today is I'm not taking my shoes and socks off to show you my beautiful feet. Stacy says they look like Fred Flintstone's feet, big old knobby toes and all that. But this is talking about the importance of sharing the word of God. And we all do it. Or we should. We should be sharing it with our children, loved ones, people we come into contact with. Now, one of the things that I really, really want to stress today and every day is some requirements on preaching. Whether it's us in our home, at the kitchen table with our children, or whether it's discussing it over the fence with our neighbor, or here. We are very blessed here at South Valley to have a number of men that get up on Sunday nights and present various sermons to us. We have a variety of men that get up and lead the Lord's Supper, which in effect, some of those comments are preaching. Those comments are sharing God's word, focusing our minds. Preaching, whether demand it from me, demand this from me. But we may not always be together. We live in a very transient society. Used to be people were born, lived, grew up, had their career and died, maybe in a close little circumference in the area where their grandparents had done the same thing. Many of us, just this small group of 80-some people tonight, we've lived in so many different places. And we probably will continue to move and maybe not stay here. You expect this wherever you are. Demand it from the people that are presenting the word to you. And you live up to this in however you present the word. Preaching has to be sound doctrine. Regardless of how good the preaching is, it has to be sound. It has to be from God's word. It has to be appropriate. What good, even if it's sound, if you can't communicate the message to somebody? I'm going to use an example in teaching math. I hated math. Hated it. But you can't teach algebra to somebody if they don't know how to add and subtract and multiply and divide. You can't be teaching higher levels unless they've got the foundation. The message has to be appropriate. We're not going to be teaching our children the finer teachings of Paul. We teach them that there's God and that Jesus is the Son of God and that God provided a sacrifice. We're not teaching them the finer teachings of Paul or the deeper meanings in the book of Revelation. It's got to be appropriate. It has to be delivered with love. It can be sound doctrine, it can be appropriate, but it can't be delivered with the got you told attitude. You can be right. You can be right and lose the soul in the process. But not delivered with love can slam the door on a sound lesson. And it's got to be without hypocrisy. One of the best door slammers there is not living what your message is. It can be sound doctrine. It can be appropriate. It can even be done sincerely with love. But if they're seeing one thing being said and another thing being lived, the presenter loses the credibility. It doesn't mean that what they're preaching is any less sound. But they tend to dismiss it. They tend to throw it out. So I would like for us to just look at some scriptures and let the scriptures do the talking. Straight from the New Testament that deal with preaching. One of them is one that we looked at a couple of weeks ago with the Lord's Supper, Acts 20 and verse 7, where it says, "Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread," that was the purpose why they had come together. Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. We have an example here that when Christians gathered weekly on the first day of the week, a message was also being presented. And according to this, I've got 12 hours and 40 minutes to go until midnight. If we want to go by the end, I'm not going to go till midnight. In James 3, verse 1, for us that present the word to others and preach, we need to remember the writings of James. He says, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment." This is not an out to not teach and preach. James is saying, only a few of you teach. No, he's saying, when you teach, realize you have a bigger responsibility. You have a big responsibility on your shoulders and will receive a stricter judgment. A judgment from God, not in the sense that you might receive harsher condemnation. God's going to be looking at you to make sure you're teaching sound doctrine. And if you don't, maybe you should have shut up. Because God expects you to teach sound doctrine. You're going to receive a different judgment, a different view from others. When you start preaching, especially to others, you're going to have a target on your back. And they're going to be looking at inconsistencies in your message and your lifestyle. Oh, Mr. Christian just let that slip out of their mouths. Or, you know, Miss Christian just acted this certain way. The old double standard. And especially if they're looking, they're going to be finding it. And a lot of times we need to remember not to judge ourselves too hard. None of us are perfect. And to not spend most of our time kicking our own selves and putting ourselves down. Oh, I should have done this. I should have done that. That's why we study and prepare ourselves to be approved by God, where we don't have to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul wrote, "But as we have been approved by God to be," this is so special, "as we've been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel." When we think about that, we are being entrusted with the gospel to accurately deliver it to others. And he goes, "Even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, who tests our hearts. For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak for covetousness. God is witness. nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. We never came to you throwing our weight around. Paul, an apostle, telling you, no, we didn't come like that. But we were gentle among you. He knew his audience. He presented it in a way that wouldn't slam doors. But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. We wanted to share the gospel with you because we loved you so much. How many people like that do we run across? And he finishes up this passage. He says, "For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, for laboring night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. We preached to you the gospel of God." What a wonderful passage that Paul's reminding them how him and his companions came presenting the word of God. In Acts 20, verse 27, Paul makes the statement and kind of a proclamation, "For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God." That's important. Some lessons, some concepts are easier to present than others. There are some uncomfortable truths in the Bible that have to be preached. Some uncomfortable truths. The message of God's love, the message of Christ's sacrifice, man, you can preach that all day long. But when you have to sometimes point out sin, make a reminder to people that the consequences of sin, Paul told them, "I declared to you the whole counsel. I didn't sugarcoat things. I didn't cherry pick and choose what only people wanted to hear. I told you the good, the bad, and the ugly." In 1 Peter, the Apostle Peter says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." We've used this passage the last 3 weeks. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." Mm-hmm. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel." He's been given a responsibility. He's been given a command by Jesus himself. "You, Saul, are going to go and preach my word." This was a man that had been persecuting Christians. And Jesus gives him a commission to do this, and Paul never looked back. Paul went and did and fulfilled that work. He had a responsibility to fulfill, and he says, "Woe is me if I don't preach the gospel." If anybody had a reason to maybe back out and have a valid excuse, "You know, I've been beaten severely. I'm losing my eyesight. People are so against, I could lose my life. God won't expect me to keep going. Not once did you hear stuff like that from the Apostle Paul. Not once. Woe is me if I do not preach. Woe is me if I don't teach my children. Woe is me if I don't share the gospel with those that I love. And I guarantee if every one of us took out a piece of paper right now, we can make a list of individuals that are not saved that we would love to influence and to be able to teach. Woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. In Acts 8:4, it says, therefore, those who were scattered because of Paul, because talking about the persecution that arose because of Saul of Tarsus, therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. They were scattered because of persecution. But they took their belief and they took that gospel with them. And they shared it with others. And I, brethren, when I came to you, Paul explains his teaching style here, his preaching style. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech. I get that one. Or of wisdom. I get that one too. Declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness. Amen. In fear. Amen to that one. And in much trembling. Imagine for a second the man that's writing this. I'm coming to you bringing the gospel of Christ, the same man that had been responsible for the death of people, putting people in prison. For he was the cause, one of the biggest causes of that scattering because of the persecution. He was giving him a thumbs up. Here, let me hold your coat. Well, I'm not going to dirty my hands. Let me hold your coat while you stone Stephen to death for preaching God's word. I was with you in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And a scripture that we do not, I tell you, I don't know if we go more than 2 weeks without somebody bringing this passage up. Paul tells his beloved Timothy, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. Sometimes we've got to convince people that may not understand the scriptures, we've got to convince them. Sometimes we've got to rebuke sin. Sometimes we have to rebuke actions. Exhort them, encourage them, build them up. And how do you do it? With all long-suffering and teaching. Not everybody is on the same page maturity-wise. Not everybody is on the same page growth-wise. We just read this passage. It's in black and white. Why don't you get it? Did we understand every passage the first time we read it? with all long suffering and teaching. One of the last recorded things that we have from Jesus before he ascended in back into heaven, we call it the Great Commission. He was giving this commission to the apostles. It applies to us today. It applies to preachers that stand before you. I always say behind the pulpit. I never stand behind. I don't like behind the pulpit, but it applies to us parents. It applies to us at kitchen tables or in a living room on the couch studying with somebody. Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples. Make disciples. Make followers. Dedicated followers of Jesus. Make disciples of all the nations. Don't pick and choose. Don't discriminate. I want to I don't want to preach to you about God. I want to preach to you about God. To all the nations, doing what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The same thing the Apostle Peter would say not too long on the day of Pentecost from this. When 3,000 souls were saved. The same baptism that we participated in when we were baptized. In the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then it doesn't end there. It's not a once you get them out of the water, you wash your hands of it. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. That's comforting to know that when we teach and are teaching people and this preaching to others, that Jesus is with us. Paul would write, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. This message just didn't end with the apostles. It's kept going and kept going and kept, it's self-perpetuated itself on through the years. The same gospel message that is being taught today was being taught in the first century. The lesson is yours. Not only do these things yourself, but expect and demand them of others. You've got an outline, maybe in your private Bible study this week, you could reread some of those scriptures and just understand the intense responsibility of sharing the word with others. The lesson is yours. If anybody needs to respond to the invitation, Frank is getting ready to lead us in the invitation song. If you need prayers, if you need to repent at this time of sin in your life, if you've got prayer requests, whatever you need, if you need to respond to the invitation, do so while we stand and sing. Frank?